Are you excited to be in God's presence this morning? So am I. Listen, it takes a while for old folks to get situated. I brought my water with me. My wife gets tickled anymore when we're worshiping. Being as old as I am, I get to where I croak a lot. And a lot of times I'll open my mouth to say amen, and nothing but a croak or nothing comes out but that. And as I was reminded of the little boy who asked his grandpa, he said, "Grandpa," he said, "are you a frog?" And grandpa said, "No, buddy." He said, "Why would you say that?" He said, "Well, grandma said, when you croak, we're all going to Disney World." And folks, this morning we're expecting God to meet with us. And I pray that you've come with a heart that's ready to receive what he would say to both you and I. And I believe every word that comes from God does not return unto him until he has worked his word in such a way that it brings fruitfulness into our lives. Amen. A few weeks ago, I gave a testimony about my life and how, as a little boy and also as a young teenager, as a young man, I felt much like an outcast and ostracized from my family, most of my family, and also with few friends, if any at all. And I was extremely immature and looking for significance and relevance in life and where I fit in with a sense of purpose and also trying to find a destiny for myself. But I was looking at all of the wrong places. Now, I want to share a story with you about trying to fit in, and when we try to fit in apart from God's purpose, it doesn't look too pretty. Now, when I was 15, I had to go live with some family up in Tennessee because of the nature of the trouble that I had been in. And upon living with them, I attended a local high school. And in the high school, they had a pop band. And in the pop band, they had all kinds of instruments. They had drums. They had acoustical, lead, bass guitars. They had brass and even some strings. It was an outstanding band. But I became friends with the pop band leader, and he was very knowledgeable. He could play any of the instruments there, even at his young age. But what would happen is he and I would meet in his bedroom at his house, and he would play his guitars. And while he was playing his guitars, I was sitting on the edge of the bed or on a stool, and I would pretend that I was playing drums. Now, I had never played drums. I have never played drums, and I probably never will play drums. But as this young friend of mine was looking at me, he was watching my hand action as I was pretending to play the drums, and he was watching my foot action. He said, Ron, he said, "Man, you know how to play drums?" I said, "Oh, yeah, I know how to play drums." He said, "You do?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Would you play drums?" I said, "I played in Atlanta." He said, "You did?" He said, "Who you play for?" I said, "Oh, I played for a big band in Atlanta." He said, "What was their name?" And I gave him a fictitious name. But never had played drums in my life. But I was looking for that place where I fit in, be accepted. Well, one day the pop band had a meeting, and I was invited to come to the meeting. And during the course of the meeting, the pop band leader and the drummer got into a heated argument. And the pop band leader looked at the drummer and said, "Get out of here." He said, "We don't need you. We got a better drummer than you anyway. We've got Ron Guess here. He knows how to play drums. He played for a big band in Atlanta." So I was always a little fellow who believed in luck, but I knew my luck had run out. And what I needed was a miracle. So in the space of time between where I was sitting and where all those drums were, I became a prayer warrior. And I said, "Father, oh Lord, I need a miracle. And if you will grant me the miracle and the ability to play these drums between here and the time I get there," I said, "I will be a good boy. I said, I will not use bad language. I will be nice to everybody that I see. I won't kick my neighbor's dog and things like that. But please, please help me to play these drums." And I actually thought it could happen. So I walked over there and sat down all those drums, and it was a vast array of drums. They had all kind of drums just surrounded and cymbals and all this stuff, and two sets that I guess based on whatever. And I was terrified, but I thought, "God's going to meet me." So the pop band leader, he goes, "One and two and three," and I raised both sticks and I came down. I stopped right before I hit the heads of the drums. He said, Ron, he said, "What's wrong, man?" I said, "Well, listen, I'm just trying to find my rhythm." I said, just trying to get in my groove. I said, I'm just not there. I said, I'm good, though. I'm good. We can do this. So he said, all right, let's do it again. 1, 2, and 3. I took those sticks and I brought them down. I said, Lord, here's your chance to see a changed man. It didn't happen. So one more time, he said, Ron, what's going on, man? I said, well, listen. I said, you know, it's just, you know, I just trying to find myself. I'll be all right. Let's do it. So I want one, 2. One more time. He said, Ron, I said, well, fact is, fellas, I said, I've never played a drum in my life. And that was the first time I had ever experienced the left foot of fellowship until I met my first drill sergeant. And I was kicked out rapidly. But I was looking for significance and relevance and a place where I could fit in life with some sense of purpose, with just a sense of well-being. Let me ask you this morning, were you like I was there as a young man? Are you searching for significance? Do you, how significant do you see yourself this morning in the church, in the body of Christ? And how significant do you see in life to which God created you for? Are you still searching for where you fit in life, but also within the local church and in God's body, the church universal, everybody who truly is a born-again child of God? If our church and God's church is to have a significant role in the kingdom of God on earth, then it is imperative that you and I, as individual parts of his body, understand where we fit in, and that we find our significance and our relevance not in what we do, or no matter how much we try to fit in, but our identity, our relevance, and our significance is found of who Christ is within us. You may be saying this morning, well, how can I fit in? You may be joining us on YouTube, Spotify, or the Vertical app this morning, and you say, you know, I can't come to church. I'm immobilized, I'm in too much pain, I'm physically handicapped, or perhaps I'm working a job and I can't come, and I've got to feed my family, and it's just not going to happen for me. How can I fit in? But you also may be saying, well, listen, I do come to church, but I'm not a preacher, I'm not a teacher, I can't sing, I can't play an instrument. All I can do basically is just come and I worship, but that's you know, I just don't feel like I fit I don't feel like I'm really doing anything. Well, let me ask you this. Can you pray? Sure. And can you, if you're online this morning on YouTube, Spotify, or on our Vertical Church app, can you touch people in the sphere of your influence, and for those who you may be talking with on social media, and saying, listen, this is how God's ministering to me, because I'm not able to come to Vertical Church or some other local church, but God is ministering to me, and I just want to share with you what he can do for you. And even when we're out in the community, even if we may not be a preacher, teacher, music minister, whatever, we can still share the love of Christ through a smile, through a kind word, to how you doing today. I care, God cares, and I want you to know that you're important to him and important to me. But it's been said, particularly for those who pray, said God's warriors fight best on their knees. Billy Graham said if there's one thing he could have done more in his ministry, it would have been to pray. And I believe that. Can you call someone again and make a difference in their life? And I believe you can. But regardless of your abilities, your capabilities, or your lack of mobility, it's not you, but it is Christ in you that gives you relevance and a significant role as a member of his body that is active in the church. The scripture says in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, Jesus said, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill which cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and as it gives light to all who are in the house, so let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. You know, it's not until a candle is lit that it is working in the function that it was created for. And notice Jesus does not say you will be the light, or you can be the light, or you could be the light, but Jesus says, you are the light of the world. And even if a believer is totally immobilized, even through something as serious as total paralysis or some other physical malady, does that mean that she or he is ineffective as a member or as a part of the member of God's body through Jesus Christ? Absolutely not. But by virtue of who Christ is in us, even when we are at rest and we feel like we're not doing anything, it's by the virtue of who Christ is in us that makes the difference. By the light of who he is that overcomes the spirit of Antichrist and the darkness of this world. The scripture says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, he says, "Children, it is the last hour. And just as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have appeared. From this we know that it is the last hour." 1 John chapter 4, verse 3 says, "And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming, and now it is already in the world." And then in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7, the scripture says, "For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work," and we see this today. It says, "Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way." The question is, if we are the light of the world through Christ's presence within us, how bright is that light shining? The brighter the light, the greater restraint. The Bible tells us that the spirit of Antichrist, which was around even in John's day, and he says that the Antichrist is coming, but his spirit is already at work. He says that he is being physically restrained today. Do you know how he's being restrained, that spirit of darkness? It is the light of Christ within you and I today. It is by the presence of Jesus Christ, and he is restraining the power of Satan to implement his plan if he could, even this day. But he is being forcibly held back, and that is by the person of Christ in you. Not what you can do, but because of who Christ is in you and his light shining through you and I. You fit into the body of Christ. You are significant this morning. You are very relevant because of who Jesus Christ is in you. And you are a specific member of his body. Just how much do you think Jesus cares for you? Have you ever thought about it? Just how much regard do you think Jesus takes upon you each day and every waking and every sleeping moment that you have? How much stock do you think he takes of you and I in our lives, of everything that we do each day? Well, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 29 through 30, I believe, speaks to that very clearly. The scripture says, "For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body." Have you ever thought about the fact that Jesus is nourishing you each day? That word "nourish" there in the Greek actually means to nurture, to bring along, to provide an environment that the person that they're bringing along, the young person, feels safe, they feel loved, and they find that their needs are being met, and they can grow in such a way that they will grow up being mature and responsible young people maturing into adulthood. But this is what Jesus Christ is doing to us as members in his body. He does the very same thing. He nurtures, and he is nurturing you and I. The church is one of those places where we find that we are safe, and that you as a member of body bring intrinsic value to the member of his body. What you bring to the church as you attend church, whether online or whether you are here today, you bring that which is essential for the growth of the body and for the growth of the church. He also says he cherishes the church just as one would cherish his own body. Have you ever thought about the fact that you are being cherished? I love that. Now, the only one who first told me that I felt like I was cherished by was by my wife. And to this day, I still feel cherished by her. And it just, she blesses me so much. But that term cherish means to hold dear, to feel, or to show affection for. And Jesus is affectionate towards you today. He has good feelings towards you and I. He likes you. He loves you. You belong to him. And he belongs to you. And he cares for you. And he's going to bring you along until you reach that place. Either he either comes back or we join him. And we become that person he created us to be. Now, in his love for the church, he strategically and very carefully places you and I in a very specific and important role within his body. I want you to know, and God more than I do, wants you to know that you are very important, and he wants you to understand the value of how important you are to the body of Christ. It is significant that you know these things. The scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18, he says, "But now God has placed the members, each one of them in the body, just as he desired." Notice he doesn't say as you and I desire, but he said he's placed the members in his body as he desired. Again, this comes first in our identity with him. Then he determines where we fit, our function in the church body, which then becomes insignificant in its function and in its role. But don't make the same mistake that I did trying to fit in, telling people I knew how to play drums when I didn't. You can embarrass yourself. I'm a master at embarrassment, and I've embarrassed myself many times trying to fit in, where if I realized my significance came from Christ and my relevance came from Christ rather than me trying to worm my way into people's lives so I could feel accepted and loved. But in the function that God has placed you and I within his body, even doing great works, the spiritual gifts which are mentioned in Romans chapter 12 and also in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 speak of the things that we can do for the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verses 1 through 3. The Apostle Paul says, "If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels," he's talking about a spiritual gift here. He says, "but I do not have love." He said, "I become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal." He says, if I am exercising one of the spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit, he said, "but I'm not doing it because Christ is doing it through me." He said, "I'm just making a bunch of noise." He said, "if I have the gift of prophecy," which is another one of the gifts that were mentioned. He said, "and also have the gift of mysteries," or the gift of discernment, "and the gift of knowledge, and have all faith," which was one of the gifts, "so as to remove mountains, but do not have love," he said, "I'm nothing. Even if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing." That word profit there means giving us an advantage. But without Christ in us, all these things that we can do, even if it's the exercise of spiritual gifts, it brings no advantage to us nor to the body of Christ, because it's not Christ in us and through us doing the work. Are you trying to find your identity and your relevance in the church body through what you do rather than who you are in Jesus Christ? In regards to our work and the function to which God has called us and set us, notice that the hand never tries to figure out what the hand is supposed to do. Have you ever seen your hand having a debate within itself, like, how can I best serve the body? Maybe if I was an eyeball, I could do a little bit better. Or maybe if I was a foot, maybe I could do a little bit better. But in regards to our work and our function, in the hand not trying to figure out what the hand's supposed to do, it's subject to the head, to the commands that come from the brain, and it works in concert with it. And this is how the Father created, the Lord Jesus created his church, that we as the members of his body, we're not trying to figure out what God wants us to do, but he set us in the body as it pleases him. And the more time you spend with the Father in prayer, in reading of the word, coming to his house, worshiping him, listening to the word of God, he'll reveal to you what you're supposed to do, because he's the one who placed you in the body, and he's the one that's given you the anointing to accomplish as a member of his body what you're supposed to do. But when our body tries to work independent of the head, it gets us into trouble. For example, now this is one that applies to me, the tongue. James chapter 3, verse 6. The scripture says, "And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and is set on fire in the course of our life and is set on fire by hell." And then James chapter 3, verse 8 says, "But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison." Let me ask you something. Have you ever found that your tongue works independent of your brain at times? If you ever walk down here at the front, what we would consider the altar, and you trip across something, it's probably my tongue that's laid on the altar. Because I have to surrender that thing to Jesus because it wants to work independent of Christ. And when it does, it gets me in trouble. Our tongue can be set on fire of hell, but our tongue can also be set on fire of the Holy Spirit. And so that which comes out of it is not bitter waters, but sweet waters that brings life. The question is, are you willing to accept this morning the part of the body that God has called you to be, and then to be submissive to Christ in that part or that member he's called you to be, and then to be submissive to it? The church is much like a chain. A chain is only as strong as its weakest link. And to me, this is rather profound because we think it doesn't matter, but it does. But a church is only as strong as its weakest member. And therefore, we as the members of the body of Christ, when we see another part of the member weak or hurting, it is our duty, it is our responsibility, and it is love that motivates us to go and to rescue and to bring nourishment and healing to that part of the body that's suffering. Charles Spurgeon said, "No limb of the body lives unto itself. It is linked to the rest of the body, and it is only healthy when it ministers health to the rest of the body." And folks, we're the healthiest when we're ministering to one another as the members of the body of Christ. And when you join us online, and when you come together here in this fellowship, what you are doing is you're ministering one to another, because there's a lot of light in here this morning because we are the light of the world. And as we join together, can you imagine what that combined light looks like to the Father? Now, the scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 18 through 22. And this is speaking about us, about his care for how he places us in the body. He said, "But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' or again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary." Now let's see if we can look at an illustration of this. And we want to put an illustration here up on the screen of a soldier. Now, do you think this fellow looks like a pretty intimidating fellow? Notice what he's wearing, and we could get into something about the Christian armor and how we're to be dressed in the armor of light and the armor mentioned in Ephesians chapter 6, but that is not for this morning. But let me ask you this. As you look at this warrior's body here, and if you'll go back to that, I'm not a warrior, trust me. And but if you can put him back. Now, let me ask you this. Which part, if you could be any part of this warrior's body as you were looking at him, which part of the body would you aspire to be? Take a little look at him. And if you could place yourself as any part, as the member of his body, would it be the eye? Would it be the forearm? The hand that carries the sword, or the left arm, and the hand that carries the shield? Would it be the head? Would it be the feet? But if you could be any part of this warrior's body, what would you be? And let me ask you a question. How many of you, if God said, "I'm going to make you a part of this warrior's body," how many of you would volunteer to be the sweat gland? How many would volunteer? Any hands? Well, how important is the sweat gland? The sweat gland is tiny, minuscule. However, without the sweat glands, this warrior, soon as he entered battle, his body would begin to overheat. And he would soon, in the course of the battle, would suffer a heat stroke. And then he would be immobilized, his brain would shut down, and his organs would fail, and he would die. So though it may not have a prominent position within this warrior's body, still the sweat gland is that which brings, that which cools the body and enables him to reach his optimum as a warrior. But the question is, if God said to one of us, I'm going to make you a sweat gland, could we accept that, or would we rebel and say, no, I want a more prominent position. I feel like I need to be seen, or I need to be heard. If the Lord has made you a sweat gland or a part of the body that is not prominently displayed or obvious, please know today that you are most valuable. And you're valuable again because who Christ is in you and because of where he places you in the body. You bring intrinsic value again. You bring that which is essential to the body of Christ. You're bringing something as God has called you into this church, and also if you're online, he has called you to bring something that nobody else can bring because you are unique in Christ. And so please, if you feel like your position is a quiet position and you don't have a prominent position, do not think you don't have a position, because you do. It is very important, because, and don't become dissatisfied or discontent with the part of the body that Christ himself has made you. Now, notice how the members of our body do not esteem one member above the other. I don't know about you, but when you stub your toe, what is the first part of the body that responds to that? Mine is the eye. It looks down. The next one is the hand. And the leg comes up, and I'm supporting the weight of my body now instead of on two legs, on one leg. Then as I'm hopping around the house, my mouth takes over and these noises come out. And then my eyes shift their position and I'm looking over at my wife, who is laughing. And my ear takes over and I hear it. And then I have a battle within my mind. Should I laugh with her or should I be mad? And the fact is I remember when she has stubbed her toe and I have enjoyed laughing at the spectacle. But what we do notice is that when we stub our toe, the rest of the body is focused on that part which is injured and that which is the source of pain. So what the rest of the body do, instead of saying, I said, hey dummy, you ought to watch where you're going. And the foot says, well, if you'd been watching us eye, this wouldn't have happened. And then the body doesn't get into an argument with itself. Rather, it comes to rescue itself. And folks, we're here as a body. And when one member hurts, let's come to the rescue. But also when one member rejoices, let's rejoice. In our identity with Christ, do you see your personal growth according to how he has set you in the body of Christ as one of the members? Do you see your place within this church, as the local church, as significant? I assure you that it is. You're not too young and you're not too old to contribute to the growth and to the maturity of the church. Now, I'm an old man. I like being an old man. One day we were riding in the car, and my wife, you know, we're riding down the road like this, and I'm driving, and my wife said, what's this right here? I said, well, hon, I said, I'm an iguana now. And I don't stick my head out the window. That thing goes to flapping anymore. But I kind of like it. Gives you something to do when you're driving down the road. And I'll be doing like this sometime. Cass says, don't do that. You'll make it bigger. And a scripture that the Lord has laid on my heart that gives me relevance as an older man. And I found it greatly encouraging, because sometimes the older we get, we think, well, you know, my time's over. You know, I've served my time. And I don't really have the part that I used to, and I'm satisfied with that. But Psalms chapter 92, verses 12 through 14 says, the righteous man will flourish like the palm tree. He will grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still yield fruit, notice, in old age. They shall be full of sap and very green. Folks, it ain't over. It ain't over till it's over. And no matter how young or no matter how old you may be, or again, how mobile or how immobilized you may be, you are significant. And according to how Christ has placed you in the body, as long as God gives you breath, you've got relevance, you've got significance in the body of Christ. He has strategically and uniquely placed you and I in his body, in the church, to fulfill his purpose, not ours. But in that, we find peace and we find that relevance. In that place, his will is for you and I to go in harmony with the rest of the body in order to come to full maturity. You say, well, now, how am I supposed to mature? What does that involve? What can I do to enhance my level of knowledge in the Lord and also to come to the full maturity God wants me to be? Well, in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 12, God tells us. He says he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors, teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the service, to the building up of the body of Christ. Now, the fivefold ministry that's often called here in Ephesians, chapter 4, that word equip there means that he's given us pastors, teachers, the apostles, and evangelists. He says to equip us. In other words, when we come together in the church, and we come to the local church, or if you've joined us online, and as the pastor speaks, or as we have Bible studies, and as we have home groups, what happens, it says that God uses these gifts that he's put within the church to, as a process that leads us to completion. That's what that word equip there means in the Greek. So, the scripture says, he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it until the day of Christ. We're not complete yet, but he is in the process of completing us until Jesus comes, and he does it through the fivefold ministry. He says, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service. Well, what does that word mean, work? It comes from the word in the Greek ergon, from which we get the word ergonomics. And it's an employment through action. And it is an applied science concerning the design and the arranging of the things that make them work most efficiently and safely. In other words, when the Lord is speaking through Bible teachers and through pastors and evangelists and such to speak to us, it is to equip us for the work of service. In other words, he wants his body to work efficiently. And when one member of the body tries to act independent of the head, it gets spastic. It goes off and does its own thing, and it's not a pretty picture. But when our body is working, as God has equipped us through the fivefold ministry, we find that it is an efficient body. And then he says, for the building up of the body of Christ. His intent, when we come together as the body of Christ, is for us to be built up. We leave with a brighter vision, with hope, and also feeling better than we did when we first came in. He says, he's given this ministry, he says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13, he says, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Well, when it says that he's given this ministry until we attain to the unity of the faith, what he's saying is, well, let me just say this. It's like Charles Spurgeon said. He says, in regards to us coming to the unity of faith, Spurgeon said, we're not there yet. And it's very evident that we're not there yet. But until it comes, he's given us this ministry to build us up into every aspect, to where when it's all said and done, we look more like Jesus than we did when we were in sin. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, the scripture says, as a result, we are no longer to be called children, tossed here and there by waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up into all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted, held together by what every joint supplies, that's you and I, according to the proper working of each individual part, that you and I, for the growth of the body, for the building up of itself in love. The final result that the Lord is looking for in his body is to be in harmony with the head of the Lord Jesus Christ. We as a body are not to be driven by the force of the winds of our circumstances, false doctrine, deceit, but rather led by the Holy Spirit, overcoming sin and our adversary, the devil. He says, let us hold fast in Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking the assembling together as the habit of some is, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching. When he says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the matter of some is, what the Lord is trying to say here through the author of Hebrews is that your presence, whether you're online or here, is absolutely essential. It's necessary because we, as we come together and as we grow together and as we mature together, as we learn and build each other up, then as we go out into the world, as we carry his light within us out into the world, we again are restraining the spirit of Antichrist. Now, does this mean that we are legalistic, meaning that we can never miss church when the scripture says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, all the more as you see the day approaching? No. Sometimes different parts of the body are tired. And sometimes different parts of the body are weak. And sometimes they need rehabilitation. Sometimes they need recreation. And sometimes they need stimulation. And sometimes we just need to get away. But let it be known to you and I this day that when we do come together, let's not take it for granted. And let's not see it as just something we do on Sundays to make God happy. No, there is an important value that God places on our lives as we come together. In closing, the scripture says this, therefore, my brethren, you also were made to die to the law through the body of Christ, so that you might be joined to another, to him who is raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God. We are a part of the body of Christ, and we are joined to him in order that we might bear fruit for God. Folks, if you want to bear fruit for God, you have to understand your position and your place as a member in the body of Christ. You can't bear fruit apart from it, because we're one with him. Upon becoming a member of the body of Christ, his church, it requires death to religious exercise, relying on good works, self-endeavors. But through a sincere faith and a new life in Christ, it is only then that we begin to bear fruit. Also, we learned not to let our bodies and its members and its carnal desires to lead us, but rather we die to that and present our bodies and its members in honorable conduct out of our love to God, for Christ as our head. Romans 6:13 says, do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness. Present yourself to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. And in so doing, as we present our members, as we are his members, as instruments of righteousness to God, we'll become fruitful not only individual, but as a church. And I believe we have grown because we have done that thing. And I want to encourage you to continue. And thank you, folks, who are joining us online. And as you reach out, and as God is touching those of you who are online, if you would just share with them, say, you know, God is meeting with me through Vertical Church online. And if you know somebody, again, in your sphere of influence, and you know they're going through a difficult place, or they're not going to church anywhere, or they're not listening anywhere online, call them and say, listen, I have found a meeting place with God. And they have included us within that local body through social media. And know that your place, too, is most valuable. The question is, do you love God today? Do you love your body? God loves you, and God loves his body, and he loves you, and he is going to nurture you, and he is nurturing you, and he cherishes you as his body. And if you are a part of the body of Christ, you have intrinsic value. You are essential to the kingdom of God. You are essential to the body of Christ. And this is your duty and your calling for us to be faithful, to love one another, to care for one another, and to be faithful to Christ as the head and work in harmony with Christ as the head of the body. Ephesians 1:18 says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope. That word there means expectation. You could say that you may know what is the expectation of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance is in the saints. And that can be found in our personal relationship with the Lord, but also in our fellowship with one another as the members of the body of Christ. Now, you may be here this morning, and maybe you've been frustrated in times past as we close. And you say, I just never have felt like I fit in. I didn't understand the relevance and the value of my being here, even though I don't do something that somebody may see. And again, God may have set you in the body, and you don't have what people consider a prominent place in the body of Christ, but you matter because Jesus died for you. And you're bringing an advantage to the body again that only you uniquely can do because he set you in the body to do just that. I'm going to be down front a minute, and if you would like a prayer of encouragement that the Lord will help you to be renewed in your heart and in your mind, that you are relevant, you are significant, and you are of great value. Christ died for you in order that you may become a member of his body and grow the kingdom of God. And then, in closing, you may be here and you say, well, I don't know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I don't feel like I fit in anywhere. I'm going through life, and yes, I've got friends, but I still have this emptiness. I don't know, what does the end of my life bring? What does that look like? What did it all mean? What did it all stand for? What purpose was there in it all? Will you accept him today? He longs to bring relevance and significance and function to your life that will give you a destiny that goes beyond this life we presently live, and to give you a hope and a future that is eternal. Today, as I come, as I stand down before you, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, let me share with you real quick what that means. As you say, Lord, I understand I was born a sinner, and the sin that I was born in keeps me from you. And it's had control of my life. I've lived for myself instead of living for you. But I want to change that. I want you to come into my heart to be my Lord and Savior. Instead of me living for me, I want to live for you. And I surrender my life to you. And I want to turn from my old life. I want to live a new life unto you. Inviting you to come into my heart and to save me and make me a new person. And then I have found my purpose for life and living, and I have a destiny that goes forever. Let me invite you to come down. You say, why would I need to do that? You don't have to. But I like what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 through 33. He says, therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father, which is in heaven. You may say, well, I'm embarrassed to come down. It's humiliating. Well, what really will be humiliating is to stand before God one day at the great white throne judgment, and he will say, depart from me, I never knew you. And that will be embarrassing. But you're in a safe place today, and we're all for you, and we love you. If you don't know Jesus Christ, come today. Find your place for life and living and join in the body of Christ where you find your significance and your relevance.